family that was racked by distension in the center of England, and they didn't know where to turn, and so they finally decided that they would put up a banner. Maybe that would unite the Lord's people. And so they put a banner up over the door. It said, Jesus only. And they no sooner got it up, but that night a big wind came up and cut the thing right in half. And so when they came back the next day, what they saw fluttering in the breeze was a beautiful sign that said, us only. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that often that might be descriptive of Mr. Schutt's heart. Maybe yours too, if we were honest. But very often we have come to the assembly and we have thought that it was about us. I read a book recently, I was mentioning this to the folks in Stark Road a little while ago, about some folks that had left assemblies, and one of the stories that brought tears to my eyes was a story of a young woman, and she described the local assembly. She did a good job of describing what it was all about. I thought her description of the Lord's Supper was particularly acute. But at the end of it, her summary for why she left was just this. She said, for me, and by the way, that was the root of her problem, for me, she said, it was not enough. You got to be kidding. Because I want to tell you that if you see the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation, as the center, as the summit of God's center, you'll never be led in your lifetime to ever say, that is not enough. What I have in mind today is to talk about a couple of things very simply for you. And I want to talk, first of all, about the competency and the care that are required for careful building. I want you to look at the text with me, and I want you to notice that there are three kinds of builders that are seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to alliterate these just very simply, and that's not to make this into a sermon. It just kind of holds it together in my mind. I want to tell you that 1 Corinthians 3 has worthy builders whose work is marked by weight and permanence. I want to tell you that this chapter has weightless builders whose work is marked by transience and ultimate loss. And I want to tell you about the third category, and I'll tell you this much. If there's a person in this and ultimate loss. And I want to tell you about the third category, and I'll tell you this much. If there's a person in this room that fits into the third category, may God have mercy on your soul. Because there are wicked builders whose aims are destruction, who God Himself will destroy. Let me just talk about these themes for a minute, because my heart's exercise at this weekend is that there would be people who would commit themselves to being worthy builders in God's assembly. I want you to notice this list of building materials in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold and silver and precious stones. In our world where size and significance seem to be prized and valued above all else, this mention at the head of the list of building materials in Testimony for God may seem a bit unusual. After all, there is work and labor and toil and blood and sweat and tears that are involved in the acquisition of gold and silver and precious stones. And once they are acquired, there may be a few people who recognize their value and their beauty, but really, nobody driving by on the street is really going to notice. Wouldn't it be better to use the wood hay and the stubble and build something that my neighbors will see, that the newspapers will comment on, that Christianity Today will analyze and praise? Wouldn't that be better? Well, I want to remind you of something that I'm sure you know well, and it's just this. God has never been interested in what is just the leaven of size and significance. God has always treasured what is small yet faithful to Himself. I want to just pass on particularly to young believers today that working in God's assembly is going to run counter to the philosophies that you find in this world. It is going to run counter even to what you might see in the evangelical world. All of you who know me know that I am very loath to criticize what other Christians do, even those that do not meet with this. I don't think that's becoming of Christians to do that in a public way. But I'm going to say this. I would love before God today that you would determine to be a man or a woman who would invest your life, even if no one else notices, even if your service and labor is seen only by the eye of God, to commit yourself in your assembly, whether there are 100 or whether there are 4, to commit yourself to building things of value and permanence into God's house. I'm going to pass off that because I'm going to return in a moment and tell you how you can do that. But let me talk just for a minute about the weightless builder. You know, one of the things that terrifies all of us, I think, is how many assemblies are rapidly fading away. And I believe that ought to be reason for deep exercise on all of our hearts. I do not believe that all assemblies fail or end, at least because of sin. God, in His sovereign purposes, may choose to have testimony in a place and then move it somewhere else. That is God's work, and I do not question why God does that. But to the measure that testimony depends on those who build for God, let us search our own hearts. Will this be the generation? Will this be the decade or the era where testimony ultimately fails? This last week, I was in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, on 44th Street at the corner of 7th Avenue. And I ate lunch at a place called John's Pizzeria. And you say, what relevance on earth does that have to local assemblies? Well, I'm just going to tell you what John's Pizzeria is. John's Pizzeria is in a building that was once the Gospel Tabernacle in New York City. In fact, some of the glass and some of the arrangement even in the building are still evident. It was once a place where spiritual giants strode the stage, where men fearlessly and faithfully preached the gospel, where significant Christians whose names you know were reached and saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today it's a pizzeria. What will the Mansfield Gospel Hall be in 50 years? What about McKeesport? What about Stark Road? What about Sherman? There are no automatics in the spiritual world, folks. And if our contribution to testimony in our day is weightless and transient, wood, hay, and stone, this might be the Mansfield Pizzeria. Let me just say something very quickly about the wicked builders. Men whose work is marked by destructiveness and divine wrath. Not even going to speak about it. It actually terrifies me to talk about it. But verse 17, I'll let God speak for himself. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I want to talk about two ways that we can build with weight and value for God. I think there are likely 10 or 15 things that I might have profitably spoken on. I've just narrowed myself to two things that I want to bring before you. I want to speak for a few minutes about the value of building on the Holy Scriptures. One of my deep concerns these days is the fact that I believe that biblical illiteracy is likely the number one difficulty that we face today. Brothers and sisters, may I just say this as simply as I know how? You cannot obey what you do not know. You cannot build with what you have not acquired.
You cannot maintain truth if you don't have truth yourself. And so I want to just focus our mind on some things about the Scripture that we need to bow to today if we're going to build in a weighty and worthy way for God. I believe, first of all, that we're going to need to build with the authority of Scripture in mind. One of the commonest expressions of the Old Testament, repeated over and over again, is an expression that you know well. It is just this. It is, "Thus saith the Lord." Our postmodern world has taught us that really everything in life is negotiable because there is nothing that is fixed and sure. There is your truth and there is my truth and there is somebody else's truth. And I want to assert again today very simply that God has His Word. It is utterly non-negotiable. And I happen to be particularly fond of the words of Isaiah chapter 30. God says to His people, Israel, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Dear brothers, dear sisters, I don't want to come across harsh or somehow uncaring today. These are truths that I need in my own heart. But listen, unless we bow to the authority of Scripture, unless we acknowledge that the Lord has the right to exercise His way, then, brothers and sisters, assembly testimony will fail. I appreciate the fact that all of us have strong opinions. I'm as opinionated as anybody, maybe worse. But you know something, when it comes to testimony, we need to have the Word of God. I hope there's never a time where the Word of God does not have its proper place in our assembly meetings. I hope there's never a time when the Word of God loses its place at family altars. And I don't like that expression, but it's the only way I know to say it. And I hope we never reach a place where the Word of God no longer extends into my personal life. Brothers and sisters, this book we hold in our hand is not a gospel hall fashion accessory. It is the non-negotiable, authoritative foundation upon which God establishes all of testimony for Himself. Build with the book. Because everything else will be swept away. Let me talk for a minute not only about the authority of Scripture, but let me talk about the sufficiency of Scripture. Because I want to tell you that everything that you need to know about building for God is found in the pages of this book. Now, I'm not going to give you my full-throated rant on Christian bookstores today. You all know that I find them to be very discouraging places. Because once you've waded through the shack and all of the semi-Christian music and all of the nice Christian novels and all of the charismatic self-help books, and you finally, in a dusty shelf that the clerk himself cannot find, get to the two John MacArthur study guides hidden away in the back, you will rapidly discover that the great difficulty is this. There's a lot of things being written. There are a lot of things being published. The internet is loaded with thousands of pages of spiritual stuff. If we become so sophisticated that we have forgotten that what God has written in His Word is sufficient for all generations, how could we move away from the words of Paul to Timothy? All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The Word of God, brothers and sisters, is sufficient for our needs. Let me talk about one more thing before I pass on. It's just this. The Word of God not only speaks with absolute authority, but or die. It is sufficient. It's all you need to live in an honorable way for God. I don't have a verse for this,
So I've got an assignment for you. You can come help me after the meeting. I know it's biblical, but I'm just not sure how best to present it. I want to talk not only about the authority of the Word of God and the sufficiency, I want to talk about the efficiency of the Word of God. Did you ever hear anybody speak about that? Let me just get that out in one sentence. Things work best when guided by the Word of God. I appreciate creative minds. I really do. I appreciate trying new things sometimes. Brothers and sisters, let me assure you that the best way to do God's work is to do it God's way. Is that so simple? You know, we are being told by folks, even in assembly testimony, that if we just put more money into things, if we just tried new techniques, if we just changed things around, that, you know, somehow things would become more glorious and more effective and all of that. The sad history of innovation in God's assembly has just proven this. Faithful, prayerful dependence on the Word of God is the secret to the maintenance of testimony. I'm not afraid to try new things. I don't care if your meeting is at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. I don't care if the seats are blue or red. I'm not interested in those sort of trivial details because that's exactly what they are. Brethren and sisters, the unshakable foundation of building with weight and worth for God in testimony is His Word.
I've got about 2 or 3 minutes here. I'll talk about a second thing, just for a second. There is not only the issue of building on the Holy Scriptures, but there is the issue of building on the work of godly predecessors.
You know, I have my tongue firmly planted in my cheek right now, but, you know, when I was a kid, my basic attitude could be summed up like this. Everything that's new is good, and everything that's old is bad. There's some of you here that, if you are honest, you probably agree that that's right. However, I'm not letting all the middle-aged and more experienced Christians off the hook. There are probably some of you here who have taken the opposite point of view, that whatever is new is bad, and whatever is whatever is old is good. Well, just indulge me just for a second, because I'm going to tell you that you're both wrong. Sorry? What's good is good, no matter who does it. What's bad is bad, no matter whether it's new or old. We're not here promoting young ideas because they're better. And we're not upholding old ideas because they're better either. But I am going to say this, that a person who ignores the wisdom of brethren and sisters who have lived for God and proven Him in their lives and in their testimony, you will ignore that to your own personal peril. May I support that by the Scriptures?
This is what the book of Hebrews says in chapter 13. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the Word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
I want to encourage younger believers to do something, and it's just very simply this. You seek out the friendship and the wisdom of older believers. I have to tell you that I would not be here today apart from the grace of God and the kindness of older men and women who were not afraid to tell me what I really needed to hear. That wasn't always pleasant for me, and I probably did not always receive it in the most gracious of spirits. We might as well just be honest. But I thank God today. I've been thinking about our dear sister, Alice Clark, who's gone home to heaven. I have thought about many years of faithful, consistent, loving testimony in a local assembly. And I just bow my heart with thanksgiving for godly people like Don and Alice, leaders in our assembly, people that could be looked up to, people that could be trusted, people who had proved in their life the faithfulness of God. Their life wasn't always easy. There were trials in it. And yet their commitment to testimony was unwavering. Brothers and sisters, any generation that forsakes that kind of leadership and that kind of example is absolutely doomed to fail. That's why I resist dividing God's people up. I believe that God's people need to be together. Together in their thinking, together in their worship, together in their service for God. As brothers and sisters, there are lessons from the past that are absolutely invaluable. May God help us not only to build on the testimony of His word,
but to build on the faithful testimony of those who have gone before. Now I need to quit. I was going to speak about the catastrophe that constantly lurks in the future when teaching about separation and holiness are lost. But let me just end this way. I'll sit down in 1 minute. I want to talk about God's commendation for fidelity in the work of building God's assembly. God will reward all that is faithfully done for Him. God will not have uncompensated employees in the kingdom of God. And so my little appeal at the beginning of the afternoon meeting, I trust God will make it real to my heart and yours as well, that we will begin with Christ and His Word, the ultimate and eternal foundation, that we will build with confidence and care, knowing that the future is in our hand, that we will beware of catastrophe through poor material and shoddy workmanship, and that all of us will look forward to that day, perhaps very soon, when we will breathe the approval of heaven, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Let me leave you with my simple text. Let everyone take heed how he build thereon.